Good morning. Happy New Year. It's so good to see you. Can we give our worship team a big round of applause just for their leadership? It is so good to be with you. We missed seeing you last Saturday. I know that Christmas was a little different this year for many of us. And when you can't drive, it's illegal, you probably can't gather. So we hopefully had experience online, or we actually had a service on Thursday night, our traveler service at our Hamburg campus. So most of our other campuses kind of went there. But hopefully you had a great week and you had a good Happy New Year's last night, celebration New Year's Eve, and today. And I just want to just say it's a privilege to be able to be your pastor and to walk with you as we start this new year together. And Happy New Year's. You know, as we begin this 2023 year, we're actually kind of at the ending of one year and the beginning of another, kind of this crux in our schedules, in our rhythms, in our pace. And this is a pivotal moment because it allows us to not just look back, to reflect on the good things that God has provided for us, the things He's done in our lives over the last year, but it's also an opportunity for us to look ahead, to kind of see and to submit and to surrender this year ahead to who God is and what He's about, what His kingdom is all about in our world. And so today, I just want to encourage you, I want to invite you as we begin this new year, this new chapter that we're writing together, 2023, that you would co-write it with God. It's very easy for me to say, God, this is what I want to do. These are my plans, my goals, my agenda, and would you join me in with what I'm doing? So I think it's backwards. We need to first submit to God and say, God, what do you have for me? If you're the sovereign God who loves me, who cares about me, who knew me before I was even born, who knew me in my mother's womb, He loves me, He sent His Son to die for me, He has a plan for my life. Why would we not say, God, we want what you want? As we sang already, He's faithful through generations. He knows what's going on. Our story is a part of the bigger story of history, the story of God, and we get to be a part of it. So why don't we begin this year saying, God, we want what you want. We give you our agenda first and say, we want your agenda. And so I would encourage you this morning, because some of you, I think you're writing down resolutions or goals and plans and different things. Can I encourage you this morning and say that if you simply start this year by saying, God, today and each day, I want to seek you and your kingdom, your righteousness, that you will be exactly in the center of God's will for what He has for you. That you won't be too far ahead, you won't be too far behind, but He'll show you what you need at what time you need it for exactly when you need it. So let me just encourage you with that, because He's got a great future and a plan for each one of us this year in 2023. He's already been there. He's there. He knows what's going to happen, and He invites us to join Him. So today I want to invite you, we're going to take the first step into this new year, this new chapter we're writing, with God as our main focus. Thank you for being here. I know there's a lot of stuff happening. A lot of families are delaying their celebrations because of the weather we had to this week or even this last weekend. But today I want to just introduce to you something that has been new for us as a team, our writers and our pastors and our communicators. We look back at kind of the tradition of the Wesleyan Church. John Wesley started the Wesleyan Church. It wasn't his desire or intention, but really he had a method. That's how we get the Methodist denomination. He had a method for what it means for the church, the body of Christ, to function, to gather here on the weekends, yes. He'd travel and speak at different places, but he also encouraged people to get together in smaller clusters and groups. This method of having discipleship happen, disciples making disciples in groups, to be able to encourage one another, to resource one another, to make sure there's accountability for one another. That's what we talk about when we talk about the Wesleyan Church, the Methodist Church. Now, we don't worship John Wesley. You hardly ever hear us talk about John Wesley, but it was his method. And so we've adopted that. And many Christian churches have adopted this as well. We all serve Jesus. We all worship Jesus. But there's a tradition that John Wesley started back in his ministry in the late 1700s called the Covenant Renewal Service. And what Wesley did was he began every calendar year with the body that he led, the church body, with a renewal service. And this service was designed for the church body to reflect, to rededicate themselves to God, to really renew their commitment to God. Think of it this way. It's almost like a wedding vow renewal service. It's the bride of Christ renewing our vows with the groom, Jesus Himself, saying, I give you all that I am. For all of you, I want what you want. And so we're going to just kind of enter into this space this morning as we start this new year, as we talked across our teams and been praying about what to do the first weekend. We said, why don't we bring this tradition back in? Because it's very easy for us to kind of just go through the motions, like I said, with here's my plans, here's my agenda. But what if we start at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to give him our hearts completely? And so I invite you on this January 1st, 2023, to reflect and remember on what God has done for us. And then through this service, to recommit your life to following Christ with all that we are. And you see, this is actually not something that's new that Wesley did or invented. No, this is a pattern that you see throughout the scriptures. In fact, we're going to look at a passage of scripture where this exact covenant happened between the people of God and Joshua. And it happened through many leaders throughout the history of the church and all the way up to Jesus, even this recommitment when he saw Peter, when Peter denied Jesus before he was to be crucified. Immediately after that, Jesus came and he actually renewed the commitment to Peter. So you see this time and time again. So I encourage you, if you have a Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to look at this play out, this renewal covenant service play out in front of God's people. Joshua chapter 24, as they renewed their covenant to follow God. Now let me give you a little context of what's happening here as we look at the last chapter of Joshua chapter 24. So Joshua, he started out his life growing up in slavery in Egypt. Some of you probably have seen the Ten Commandments on television with Charlton Heston and kind of that play out. That he grew up in that type of era, that he knew Moses at that time. He grew up as a kid underneath him, under his leadership. And he saw God use the 10 plagues to free his people from the bondage of slavery by the Egyptians. Joshua also saw the parting of the Red Sea. It wasn't just a story. He experienced this. He saw the Egyptians chasing them and the pillar and cloud that led them through to come to the Red Sea. And then God parted them through Moses, parted the Red Sea through Moses and walked through that and saw the Egyptians get swallowed by them. Joshua was there. It was one of his experiences as a kid. And as Moses' assistant, Joshua saw the challenges of leadership. Because Joshua was one of the 12 spies, if you know the history of Israel. He pleaded with people to follow God and not their fears, like we sang about. And only he, Joshua and Caleb, lived to enter the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And then when Moses died, Joshua became the leader of the Israelites. And so in today's passage, it's near the end of Joshua's life. And he gathers all the people together, it says in verse 1 of chapter 24, and he asks them to recommit their lives, to have this covenant renewal happen for the people of God to God. And notice God in this passage is speaking through Joshua, picking up in verse 2 of Joshua 24. It'll be on the screens as well. It says this, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. So this is God speaking to the Israelites. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Noah, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. So he's just talking about the history of what's happened. All of humanity of the Israelites talk about what's happening here with Abraham. And then God continues. He says, but I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. Notice all the things that God does. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Now you're going to hear a lot of names, a lot of places. What he's doing is basically looking back, he's reflecting, God's reflecting through Joshua to the people, their heritage, their history, saying, I've been there the whole time. Look what I've provided. And then there's this 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and God speaks about this period. Picking up, it says, then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out of that bondage. And when I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians, and then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. And I'm sure you could see here just the families as they were gathered hearing this, saying, like, yeah, remember I told you that story, talking to a dad, talking to their kids, a mom talking to the son. Yeah, this is the history of what God has done. And so Joshua was really reminding, God was reminding through Joshua, the people where they came from and the many actions that God did on their behalf. And now Joshua, once again speaking on behalf of God, he goes into more recent history, some experiences that the people that were hearing this have walked through themselves, not just what was passed on for generations. Let's pick up in verse 8. He continues, I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands, God says. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. Now, here's a bunch of names and you're going to hear. I'm just, in college, they teach you, if you don't know how to say the name, just say it with boldness to come across with confidence, right? When Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, the son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. And then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. Some of you, he's talking to the crowd, you guys have experienced this. Remember we crossed the Jordan, went to Jericho, the walls that fell, and the citizens of Jericho, they fought against you, as did all the, I'm just going to call them the Ites, because it's the Amorites, the Pezerites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gergesahites. Sounds like some intestinal ingestion going on in there. The Hivites, the Judezites, I gave them all the Hittites into your hands. And I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. Remember those guys? You did not do it with your own sword or bow. So I gave you a land in which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them, even today, and you eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And so it's almost like what God was saying through Joshua here is almost like a parent talking to a child, saying to his people, now you live in homes that you did not build or pay for, right? You eat food that you did not grow or you did not prepare. Remember who you are and remember who I am. All that they had, the Israelites, their freedom, their homeland, their possessions, their homes, it all came from God. And notice how God mentions many things that he's done for them, that how he helped them overcome freedom from slavery, the crossing the Red and the Red Sea and the Jordan River, victory at Jericho, and having victory over the most powerful nations of that day that surrounded the nation of Israel. Now, what would that list look like for you? As they look back and remember all that God did, what has God delivered you from? Where have you needed God's help? Where has he helped you through, even as we sang this morning? See, God probably hasn't had to deliver you from some type of height or ite group, but maybe he delivered you from other things. What would those things be? If you could make a list, as we reflect today on this first day of January in 2023, what has God delivered you from? If I look back at my life and being a follower of Christ for almost 40 years, when I accepted Christ and at the age of 6 and just kind of learning what that looked like, growing up in the church and growing up with godly parents and godly family, I can tell you I realized that God had delivered me so much, had delivered me from so many things from my middle school, high school, college, young adult years. One of those things, if I'm being real honest and transparent, is worry and fear. When I was a kid, I used to worry all the time. I would fear the worst. I'd think the what if worst case scenario. And I can say today that I am no longer a slave to fear. That God has freed me from fearing things I shouldn't fear. He's freed me to live in his truth, that he's with me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me. It doesn't matter what comes my way. He's freed me. He's delivered me from worry and fear, just like we sang. He's delivered me from my ego and my pride. When I was in high school and college, beginning to think, I'm pretty talented. I could do some good things. And I thought maybe I knew what was better than God did for my life, that I wanted to do things my way, and he's delivered me from that to trust that his way, his timing is so much better than mine. That what I thought I needed, I wasn't ready for. what I thought I had, God said, that's not you for you to use right now. That's for later. Don't brag. Don't make it about yourself. It's for others, not for you. So he's delivered me from my pride and my ego. He's delivered me from comparison. Maybe you've been in that before, where I used to compare myself to everything and everyone, other communicators and pastors and athletes and friends and whatever it may be, that it just became like this trap where everywhere I looked, I was always comparing. And guess what happens when you compare? You lose every time. So he's delivered me from comparing where I didn't measure up to others. And he's delivered me from materialism, this idea of pursuing that next thing, specifically at Christmas, growing up as a kid. If I have that, then I got everything I need. Or if I just have that person or that relationship, then I will be there. Then I'll have all that I desire. I won't need anything else. But you understand, and a month from now, 2 months from now, even as kids, you play those things, those toys you get, or adults, that gift, or that car, or whatever that may be, that house, or you name it, that rat race just continues again and again. And it robbed me of my joy in life, but he's delivered me to understand it's not about stuff. It's about relationships, my relationship with him, my relationship with other people. And all these other things are tools that God wants me to use to be generous so that others can experience his love and his grace and his power in me through his Spirit. So all these things that I just mentioned are some of the things that he's delivered me from. If I had a list looking back over my life, remembering even as I wrote this message on this first day of this year, I didn't write it the first day of the year, but talking about it now, thinking through saying, man, God's delivered me. He's brought me through so much. As we follow him, it is a journey. And I can look back and see mile markers of where he's brought me, how far I've grown, and yet how far I still have to go. Because God's delivered me, but he's still delivering me in different areas. He's still delivering me in areas of insecurity, where I feel like sometimes I'm not the best husband I can be. I'm not the best pastor. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not worthy of this. That I'm not the best father or friend. That I'm not good enough. He's delivering me from areas of impatience and control. I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. I like to know when things are going to happen or help dictate when things are going to happen. God wants me to let go and to trust him, his timing and his way. I'm being delivered of impatience and control. Some of you know what that's like, just having someone else drive a car you're sitting in. Is it hard for you to sit and have someone else drive? Or maybe being delivered from the bad influences in this culture, because can I tell you that there is a battle for our hearts in our culture? That everything we listen to, everything we see, everything we're around, it's planting seeds in our soul, on our heart, that will bear fruit both either for good or for evil. Don't say that nothing affects you or this won't affect me. Everything affects you, but it's over time, the sustenance of that, how much you, the growth in that, is it repetitive? Pretty soon it will move you into that direction either for good or for evil. I'm being delivered from the influences in our culture, the media that we have. Not all is bad, not all is good. But am I making those things a God? Am I listening or hearing or watching or seeing things that are affecting me in a way that's not a part of God's kingdom? And he's delivered me, and he's delivering me with things that I'm addicted to. And can I tell you that we all are addicted to something? We usually associate addiction to drugs or alcohol, and those are serious things that we need to acknowledge, that we need to treat and deal with. But what about those things that we're addicted to that we don't really think we're addicted to? Can I tell you honestly, transparently, one of the things I'm addicted to is my phone. I'm addicted to my phone. The desire for connection and the desire to always be available and to be needed. I don't know about you, but I do every morning when I get up in the morning, before I go out in the car, I do the 3 pat down. Got my wallet, I got my keys, and I got my phone. If I don't have that, I feel like I'm missing something, that I'm not available, or what if I can't be reached? Or what if something happens with the kids at school? Or, you know, I need to have my calendar, my camera, my Rolex, is that still a thing? The you know, contacts, I want to be able to, an email, it's all in one space. The beauty of having one thing at one place, but the curse of having one thing at one place. I'm addicted to my phone. And it's hard for me, even on my day off, which my Sabbath day is Friday. I tell my wife and I tell my kids, I'm putting my phone here. I tell the people I serve with, unless someone's dying, I'm not gonna pick up my phone. But can I tell you, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I wanna do, I wanna check the score of the game. I wanna look at this. I wanna make sure that, oh, someone has this question, I just need to respond. I'm trying to make it an act of worship to say, God, I don't need my phone. Help me not to worship my phone. It's hard for me to go through one day without my phone. Even if it doesn't even ring, just having it, security, desire for connection, being available. And so God has delivered me and he's delivering me with my addiction to my phone. Or perhaps it may not be a substance or an object, but maybe it's a way of thinking, this addiction you have. A certain mental pattern. Instead of talking to a person about a situation, you're addicted to making your own judgments about that person or a situation, and then carrying them into another situation or another conversation, instead of having an honest, grace-filled, truth-filled, clarifying conversation that's hard in the moment, but so freeing in the end. Let me paraphrase a couple of the verses that we read about Joshua when he was sharing, reflecting back over his life, the things that God helped deliver his people from, the people of God. But this time, let me just insert the paraphrase of what it would be like maybe for me or for you. It's almost as though it would say this. God would say, that addiction fought against you, as did all the comparison traps, the materialism, the bad influences in your life. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. You do not do it on your own moral strength, willpower, or intellect. So I gave you a land in which you do not toil and cities you did not build, and you live in them. You live in the beautiful town of East Aurora. You eat from grocery stores and restaurants that have great food that you did not own, you did not operate, you don't even manage. It's all a gift. So God's point in this passage, in the scriptures, is it's all because of his power, his spirit, that we have all that we have. It's a reminder that all we have is from God, and without God we are nothing. Jesus said himself that if you're not connected to me, if you're not abiding with me, you can do nothing. The best part is we have today, now, what the Israelites did not have back in their day. They were delivered from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, but we have been delivered from the slavery of sin and death through the work of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus did what you and I could never have done for ourselves. And by faith in Christ, we are adopted into God's families. We are children, sons, and daughters of God. And I and you, we are invited to not just know that, but to participate in ushering in that good news to a world that desperately needs it. And to participate with the Spirit in seeing his kingdom come, to see the kingdom of God, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, alive in us, is available to all those we know and work with and live with and do life with. To see his kingdom come here on earth beginning today. Salvation begins now. And so for the Israelites, it was a reminder, this passage, of looking back in their journey and the process of total reliance and faith in God. And so it is for us, that we need total reliance, total dependence on God as we mature in our faith, as we take these steps in our faith journey, following Jesus, as he says, come, follow me, as we follow in his footsteps, doing what he did, saying what he said, living like he lived, so that people will see him in us. And as we do so, we will grow spiritually and understand that the more we surrender, the more that we give up, for God's kingdom, seeking first his kingdom, his righteousness, the more we'll experience him in our lives. We grow spiritually. We mature. In fact, I want to remind you, and maybe some of you saw this online or you will see this next week, we're starting a new series next weekend called It's Time to Grow Up. And it's all about a series about what does it mean to become spiritually mature, to grow up in our faith. Some of you remember as a kid, maybe you had the, some of you still do this, or maybe you have the markings on the door of your closet where you would measure your kids' heights at the different years. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about? You have those things. The same is true in our lives. There are different markings, not in a legalistic way, but there's indicators of how we grow up in our faith. Because the reality is, there are many people who have known Jesus for a long time that call themselves followers of Christ. They have grown older, but they have not grown up. It's possible to be a follower of Jesus for decades and still be an infant in your faith. And there's still people that I know who are teenagers, who are years beyond where I was growing up in my faith as a teenager. So that whole series, you'll see it next week. We're gonna do that from now through Lent, looking through the book of Ephesians, which is all about maturity in Christ. How do we grow up in Christ together as the body? Can't wait for that to start next week. Let's go back to the text. Joshua, as we wrap up Joshua 24, Joshua then calls the people. After looking back, seeing God's reliance, his hand working in their life, he calls the people to reaffirm their commitment to him. And notice what he does. He doesn't make it easy for them to make this recommitment. Let's see if we can recapture the dialogue here in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. This was the scene. Joshua's in front of the people. He says all this, and then he says the following to the people. And then I'm going to ask if you would respond. I'll play the part of Joshua. And if you would respond as the people, I'll even join you. The scriptures will be on the screen, so it's easy for all of us. And we'll see the dialogue play out before us, how this renewal covenant concludes. It says this. Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served or the gods of those in whose land you are living." And maybe one of the most famous passages. Some of you even have this on your walls of your home. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And then the people, let's say this together. Their response was, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up from Egypt, from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes." They continue. "He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And then Joshua, kind of tongue in cheek, says this. Well, I've seen this before played out. He says, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins." I've seen this played out. Remember the 40 years wandering in the desert, in the wilderness? You said you were going to follow him. He took you out of slavery, but you didn't. You turned your backs. You grumbled. You complained. I know what you're like. Can you imagine the people's reaction? What? But then he brings it back and he says, "If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." And the people respond. They say this. Let's say it together. "No, we will serve the Lord." Because remember, this is a battle for our hearts. This is what the enemy tries to do, to sneak into our lives to say, "No, this is better. This is a better God." And then Joshua continues. "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." And then the people said, "Yes, we are witnesses." And then Joshua concludes, he says, "Now then, throw away the foreign gods." And the same for us today. Throw away the lesser gods that are competing for your heart. Throw them away and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And then the people said, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." And this was one of the first covenant renewal services that was ever had between God and his people through Joshua, where they made a commitment to follow God in their words and their actions. And what a great time, what a great way to spend our first Sunday together, starting this new year, 2023, to declare it and then to live it. So what Joshua is addressing here, like I said, is the battle of all battles, the battle for our hearts. And notice he says, choose something, even if it's not God, choose something that you're going to serve. Because Joshua is helping God's people to realize then, and for us today, that we all serve something or someone. It's not a matter of if, it's what. By not choosing God, we're choosing something else, and either something handed down to us, as Joshua said, through the ancestors, or something that we live in, something from our culture that we live in right now. And so today, I echo Joshua's words saying this, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this year whom you will serve. And so as we begin this new year, what a great opportunity to stop, to remember by reflecting on what God has done for us. I encourage you even today, you heard some of the things on my list he's delivered me from and the things he's delivering me from. What would that be for you? And what would we say this year we surrender those things and we commit our lives to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Now, as a part of the renewal service that Wesley would do with his congregation, is he'd also do a liturgical form of prayer. And so what we're going to do is, actually, as you walked in, you should have received a bookmark. Did you guys get those? If you did not get one, we had a limited supply. I said one per family, but there's more on the Connection Center if you want some. This is just for you to keep. On the backside is a prayer that we're going to say together that will be on the screens. And this is a prayer that we can remember. Maybe you want to say it even multiple times throughout this year, or when you're feeling your heart stray or drifting from God, if you want to recommit. Again, a renewing of vows, saying, God, we love you, we trust you, we give you our lives. And so we're going to conclude our time together by doing a covenant renewal prayer, which will be on the screens. And then after that, we're going to do a prayer of repentance before taking communion. And this was a standard practice that many Christian churches do to begin the year, remembering who God is, that we're nothing without him, all that he's done, so that our ultimate act of worship is giving him our lives in response. So let's say the prayer together. It'll be on the screens. You can look at the bookmark if you have it, or we'll just do it together here on the screens as a prayer. Let's pray together. I pray my life in your hands, for it to be yours to direct and not mine. May you decide what I should do and with whom I should do it. May you guide when I should be active and when I should rest. May you sustain me when I am well and when I suffer. May you be reflected in me when I am praised and when I am challenged. May I give thanks to you when I enjoy abundance and when I know what it is to go without. May my whole life be given in service of your love and salvation. Use all that I have and all that I am for your purposes. May I always remember that you, O God, and I belong to each other. Before all heaven and earth, I acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my Lord and God. I give all of myself, body and soul, to be your servant and to serve you all the days of my life. This is my commitment. I stand by it, and I ask that you, Jesus, bear witness to it. Amen. Amen. May that be our prayer this year. Feel free to pick one of these up so that you can have that, remember that. Pray that maybe every single day as you spend time with our Lord. I want to do a prayer of confession before we take communion. Basically, remembering what brings us together, what binds us together is Jesus, that we are his body, made up of many parts, that he gave his life for us. He surrendered what he didn't have to so that we could be forgiven. And so let's just pray this simple one-slide prayer together. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us of our sins through Jesus Christ our Lord, and strengthen us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit all our days. Amen.